Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the reproductive rights amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.
Welcome to the Inspirational Living Podcast. Today's reading was edited and adapted from The Royal Path of Life by T.L. Haynes and L.W. Yagi, published in 1882. There is dignity in labor, in toil of the hand as well as toil of the head, in toil to provide for the bodily wants of an individual life, as well as in toil to promote some enterprise of worldwide fame. All labor that tends to supply our wants, to increase our happiness, to elevate our nature, in a word, all labor that is honest is honorable too. Labor clears the forest and drains the swamp and makes the wilderness rejoice and blossom as a rose. Labor drives the plow, scatters the seeds, reaps the harvest, grinds the corn, and converts it into bread, the staff of life. Labor provides daily sustenance to the thousand millions of the human family. Labor gathers the gossamer web of the caterpillar, the cotton from the field, and the fleece from the flock, and weaves it into raiment, soft, warm, and beautiful. The purple robe of royalty and the gray gown of the peasant being alike in its handiwork. Labor molds the brick, splits the slate, quarries the stone, shapes the column, and rears not only the humble cottage, but the gorgeous palace, the tapering spire, and the stately dome. Labor, diving deep into the solid earth, brings up its long-hidden stores of coal to feed 10,000 furnaces and power the electricity of millions of homes. Labor explores the rich veins of deeply buried rocks, extracting the gold and silver, the copper and tin. Labor smelts the iron and molds it into a thousand shapes for use and ornament, from the massive pillar to the tiniest needle, from the ponderous anchor to the wire gauze, from the mighty flywheel of the steam engine to the polished ring on the finger. Labor cuts down the gnarled oak, shapes the timber, builds the ship, and guides it over the deep, plunging through the billows and wrestling with the tempest, to bear to our shores the produce of every clime. Labor, laughing at difficulties, spans majestic rivers, carries viaducts over marshy swamps, suspends bridges over deep ravines, pierces the solid mountain with the dark tunnel, blasting rocks and filling hollows, while linking together with its iron but loving grasp all nations of the earth, thus verifying in a literal sense the ancient prophecy: every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. Labor draws forth its delicate iron thread, and stretching it from city to city, from province to province, through mountains and beneath the sea, realizes more than fancy ever fabled, while it constructs a chariot on which speech may outstrip the wind and compete with lightning, for the phone lines transport messages as rapidly as thought itself. Labor, the mighty magician, walks forth into a region uninhabited and desolate, looking earnestly at the scene, so quiet in its desolation, then waving a wonder-working wand. Those dreary valleys smile with golden harvests. Those barren mountain slopes are clothed with foliage. The furnace blazes. The anvil rings. The busy wheel whirls round. The town appears. The shops of commerce. The halls of science. The temples of religion rear high their lofty frontage. A forest of masts, bright with varied flags, rises from the harbor. Representatives of far-off regions make it their resort. Science enlists the elements of earth and heaven in its service. Art awakening clothes its strength with beauty. Civilization smiles. Liberty is glad. Humanity rejoices. Piety exults. For the voice of industry and gladness is heard on every side. Working men and women, walk worthy of your vocation. You have one able shield and a coat of arms. Disgrace it not. There is nothing really mean and low but injuring others or yourself. Stoop not from your lofty throne to defile yourself by contamination with intemperance, licentiousness, or any form of evil. Labor allied with virtue may look up to heaven and not blush, while all worldly dignities, prostituted to vice, will leave their owner without a corner of the universe in which to hide their shame. Prove the honor of your labor by illustrating in your own person its alliance with a sober, righteous, and honorable life. Be sure of this, that the one who works in a spirit of obedient, loving homage to the divinity in themselves and others, does no less than cherubim and seraphim in their loftiest flights and holiest songs. Labor achieves grander victories, it weaves more durable trophies, it holds wider sway than the conqueror. His name becomes tainted, and his monuments crumble, but labor converts those red battlefields into gardens, and erects monuments significant of better things. Labor rides in a chariot driven by the wind. It sits crowned as a king in a thousand cities, and sends up its roar of triumph from a million wheels. It glistens in the fabric of the loom. It rings and sparkles from the steely hammer. It glories in shapes of beauty. It speaks in words of power. It makes the sinewy arm strong with liberty, the poor person's heart rich with contentment, and crowns the swarthy and sweaty brow with honor, dignity, and peace. Don't live in hope with your arms folded. Fortune smiles on those who roll up their sleeves and put their shoulders to the wheel. You cannot dream yourself into a character. You must hammer and forge yourself one. To love and to labor is the sum of living. And yet how many think they live who neither labor nor love? The man and woman who are above labor and despise the laborer show a want of common sense and forget that every article that is used is the product of more or less labor, and that the air they breathe and the circulation of the blood in their veins is the result of the labor of the God of nature. The noblest thing in the world is honest labor. It is the very preservative principle of the universe. Wise labor brings order out of chaos. It turns deadly bogs and swamps into grain-bearing fields. It rears cities. It adorns the earth with architectural monuments and beautifies them with the divinest works of art. It whitens the seas with the wings of commerce. It brings remote lands into mutual and profitable neighborhoods. It binds continents together with the fast-holding bands of railroads and telephone cables. It extinguishes barbarism and plants civilization upon its ruins. It produces mighty works of genius in prose and verse, which gladden the hearts of people forever. Work, therefore, with pride and gladness, for thereby you will be united by a common bond with all the best and all the noblest who have lived, who are now living, and who shall ever be born. No person has the right to expect a good fortune unless they go to work and deserve it. Luck, cried a self-made man. I never had any luck but getting up at 5 every morning and working as hard as I could. No faithful worker finds their task a pastime. We must all toil or steal, no matter how we name our stealing. The education, moral and intellectual, of every individual must be chiefly their own work. How else could it happen that young people, who have had precisely the same opportunities, should continually be presenting us with such different results and rushing towards such opposite destinies? Difference of talent will not solve it, because that difference is very often in favor of the disappointed candidate. You will see issuing from the walls of the same college, sometimes from the bosom of the same family, two young adults, one of whom shall be called a genius of high order, the other scarcely above the point of mediocrity. Yet you shall see the genius sinking and perishing in poverty, obscurity, and wretchedness, while on the other hand, you shall observe the mediocre one plodding their slow but sure way up the hill of life, gaining steadfast footing at every step, and mounting, at length, to eminence and distinction. Now, whose work is this? Manifestly their own. You are the architect of your fortunes. It is the fiat of fate from which no power of genius can absolve you. Genius, unexerted, is like the poor moth that flutters around a candle till it scorches itself to death. The world has shown us again and again that one of the first conditions of enjoying life is to have something to do, something great enough to rouse the mind and noble enough to satisfy the heart, and then to give our mind and heart, our thought and toil and affections to it, to labor for it, in the fine words of Robert Hall, with, quote, an ardor bordering on enthusiasm, or as a yet greater sage expresses it, to do it with all our might. A life of full and constant employment is the only safe and happy one. If we suffer the mind and body to be unemployed, our enjoyments, as well as our labors, will be terminated. One of the unsung benefits of steady employment is that it keeps one out of mischief, for an idle brain is truly the devil's workshop, and a lazy disposition the devil's booster. To be occupied is to be possessed as by a tenant, whereas to be idle is to be empty. And when the doors of the imagination are opened, temptation finds ready access, and evil thoughts come trooping in. It is observed at sea that sailors are never so much disposed to grumble and mutiny as when least employed. hence an old captain, when there was nothing else to do, would issue the order to scour the anchor. Labor, honest labor, is mighty and beautiful. Activity is the ruling element of life, and its highest exuberance. Luxuries and conquests are the result of labor. We can imagine nothing without it. The noblest person on earth is the one who puts their hands cheerfully and proudly to honest labor.
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the reproductive rights amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.